One of the most recognizable voices in all of television is getting a new home.
H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O-P-Q-R-S-T-U-V-W-X-Y-N-Z. Oh, hi! Welcome to Sesame Street!
That's, of course, Elmo, the little red heartthrob for the toddler set. He is eternally 3.5.
And Elmo and other residents of Sesame Street making big news today, announcing a new partnership with a company better known for The Bloody Red Wedding or The Sopranos, HBO. NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik joins us now. Hi, David.
Hey, guys.
And tell us all about this. What's going on here with Sesame Street going to HBO?
Well, Sesame Street has struck a 5-year deal in which HBO is going to pay for the creation of new episodes of Sesame Street, such a classic for children, even of my generation in the late 60s growing up and those ever since. And it's going to have exclusive rights to those for a 9-month period. It's going to add this to its portfolio. HBO is clearly interested in expanding what it offers for kids. It's also, I think, worth pointing out, it's pulling these shows from Amazon and from Netflix as things that can be streamed on those streaming services. So it's looking both to appeal to subscribers and to point out that it in the future is going to be a streaming service in some ways, the HBO Go, as well as a cable channel that you have to pay extra for.
But so that parents don't worry about this, the episodes are still going to be on PBS later, right? They'll be on HBO first, and then 9 months after that, they will appear on PBS.
That's right. There's that 9-month window. And so the back catalog is still available to PBS stations and the PBS system as they ever were. But there's going to be a pause, a 9-month hiatus before new episodes can show up on those stations. And I think there's some trepidation about this in some ways among people at the station, and you're seeing online that play out as well. Mm-hmm. But what people at Sesame Street say is, look, you know, PBS was covering about 10% of our costs.
That's all.
And we needed to – and that's it. And they were finding other ways through selling foreign rights, through figuring out sales of DVDs, you know, no longer such a big business but used to do something. They were selling external products in ways to figure out how to subsidize this. This offers a huge infusion of funds, and what's more, HBO is funding the development of other shows as well through Sesame Workshop
David, just to clear something up that you just said, Sesame Street is its own company, and then so it's not like it's a part of PBS.
That's right. I mean, the public broadcasting system is pretty Byzantine, but you know, there are production companies and there are broadcasters. PBS is a system of member stations all throughout the country, somewhat like public radio. And Sesame Workshop produces the show that we know as Sesame Street for those stations. But now its home for the next 5 years will be HBO. It's originating home in some ways. And people will be able to see it on PBS stations and also see it through PBS Kids, the free app. It's how my daughter, my 3-year-old, watches elements of Sesame Street primarily. And I think that's an important element of this is how things will be streamed. They'll be available on PBS Kids in the same window that they're available on PBS stations.
Well, David, and maybe other people are also picturing, you know, like Kermit the Frog in a trench coat with a cigarette talking to Stephen Buscemi in a dark corner somewhere, which is what you think of when you think of HBO. This will still be the Sesame Street that we think of on PBS. So what else does HBO get out of this? Because you mentioned that they were going to pull Sesame Street off Netflix and Amazon. I'm imagining that one of the things they want is for the parents to come with the kids to HBO or their streaming service.
I think what HBO is trying to do is ensure that whether or not you get your television entertainment, your video entertainment through what we think of now as conventional cable provider, a Comcast, a Time Warner Cable, or the others, or you get it over the top through a subscription service like HBO Go on your tablet, that you still feel compelled to pay the extra 15 or however many bucks a month to HBO, that they are indispensable. The whole notion is they have to be indispensable. You can't get it from some Amazon deal. You can't get it from some Netflix deal, and you can't instantly get it from PBS. I think kids will still be able to watch these shows without having any sense that these are 9 month old. It's not like they're time pegged in any way. But HBO is trying to say we are the originating place, and we are going to cover you from very mature series that Game of Thrones, you know, somewhat adult and sexually charged stuff late night. We're also going to have stuff for kids, and we're going to have stuff for kids that you remember when you were a kid.
Well, the most important thing to note is PBS, according to PBS, reaches more children ages 2 to 5, more mothers of children under 6, and more low-income children than any children's network. So it's just important, I think, to underscore again, there it will still be at some point free on PBS as opposed to these paid services on HBO for those kids. Well,
I think that's right. I think it's also important to note that the reason this is wrenching for a lot of people who are invested in public broadcasting is that Sesame Street was, in a sense, a public good, a service, a kind of head start for poor kids throughout the country who maybe couldn't get into preschool, pre-K programs. This was something that was seen to really lift a lot of literacy rates and, mm-hmm. and other kinds of engagement for kids who are at risk. And that's a legacy that some people feel is in some ways being diminished by this deal with the private premium channel HBO.
It's also interesting, though, to think about the fact that HBO is actually similar in some ways to public broadcasters in that there are no commercials. Mm-hmm. It's got very good programming and, you know, it doesn't have pledges, but it does have a subscription fee. David Falkenflik, NPR media correspondent. Thank you so much.
You bet.